Our gospel reading comes from the book of John, first chapter, beginning with verse 29, and it reads, "The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, 'Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man whose ranks ahead of me, because he is before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.' Then John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John again standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here comes the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following him, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translates means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two heard John speak and followed him. Followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which translates anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas,' which translated into Peter." The word, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I come to you today with a sermon whose title makes a proclamation, and that is simply these words: "You were made for a purpose." I believe that everyone and everything that God has created was made for a purpose. And the greatest challenge that we all face comes in two forms. The first part is for us to try to figure out what that purpose is. And then the second one: once you have figured it out, what do you do with it? With this in mind, let us take a look at the lives of five individuals, and let's see what purpose is or was that God had for their lives. Beginning with our scripture that came from the book of Isaiah, which bears the name of the prophet who the book is about, and reading this particular account of his life, what we discover is that God made him for a special purpose. And that purpose was to remind the people of Israel of who they were and who they belonged to. Once Isaiah accepted this as his purpose, he immediately stepped out on faith and delivered a message to the people of Israel. He said to them, "Though you have fallen away from God, though you have gone against all of the things that God has taught you in Scripture, though you have begun to follow idols and statues and worship other gods that you are not supposed to, though you have angered God, in so many different ways, God still loves you. And all you have to do is turn away from those things. Go back to God. And what you will see is God will restore you back to your former glory. Well, once Isaiah had fulfilled this task, here's where the challenge came in. Because it was now the responsibility of the people of Israel to hear, to accept, and to live into what they had just been taught. And then we move on. Moving on to our next scripture, in the book of 1 Corinthians, we find the Apostle Paul. And in the reading of this particular part of his journey, we discover, once again, just like Isaiah, God had made him for a very specific, special purpose. And that purpose was to deliver a message to those who had just become new followers of Christ, who just happened to be living in a town called Corinth at this particular point in time in their lives. And with all that they were going through, they found themselves losing faith in God and beginning to second guess and question their choice. Once Paul accepted this as his purpose, he then went to the people of Corinth and he said to them, just because you're facing challenges, God has not given up on you. Through Jesus Christ, you have been blessed with everything that you need, every spiritual gift that will enable you to stand strong in the face of oppression, persecution, and any other evil that will come your way. And after Paul had taught that lesson, he had fulfilled his task, he delivered his message, and now came the challenge. The people of Corinth was left with the responsibility to hear, to accept, and to live into what they had been taught. And that brings us to our gospel reading. Here, we encounter a man named John. Many of us know him as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. And in this particular passage of scripture, we discover that John also was made for a very specific purpose. And that purpose was to declare to the world that Jesus Christ, also quoted as being the Lamb of God, had come to take away the sins of the world. Once John accepted this as his purpose for being, John, as you continue to read, went and stepped out on faith and began to preach and to teach all those who would hear about Jesus coming to take away their sins. And in the case of John, he did it even though the end result would be that it would cost him his life. But nevertheless, once John had fulfilled his task in making the people of the world aware that Jesus had come into the world to take away the sins of the world and to give us a new life and a new lease on life, it became our responsibility to hear, to accept, and to live into the lessons that we had been taught. The next person I want to talk about is a man who God made for a very special purpose. As this weekend has been set aside to celebrate and acknowledge the birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., during a time in the history of our country when we were divided across racial lines and steeped in practices of racial inequity, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was called by God for a special purpose. Once Dr. King accepted this as his purpose, and he accepted God's call upon his life, he then began to preach and teach a lesson for all to hear. He taught that the people of this world, all humans, were created equal in the eyes of God. And he helped us to see that the world is a much better society if we are living as a united people by delivering speeches such as the one entitled Rediscovering Lost Values. It's a speech that he gave on February the 28th, 1954, a little bit before I was born. And in that speech, he states, and I quote, "I think we have to look much deeper than that if we are to find the real cause of man's problems and the real cause of the world's ills today. If we are to really find it, I think we will have to look in the hearts and the souls of men. The trouble isn't so much we don't know enough, but it is as if we aren't good enough. The trouble isn't so much that our scientific genius lags behind, but our moral genius lags behind. The great problem facing modern man is that the means by which we live have outdistanced the spiritual ends for which we live. So we find ourselves caught in a messed up world. The problem is with man himself and man's soul. We haven't learned how to be just and honest and kind and true and loving. And that is the basis of our problem. The real problem is through our scientific genius, we have made of the world a neighborhood. But though our moral and spiritual genius, we fail to make it a brotherhood. And the great danger facing us today is not so much the atomic bomb that is created by physical science, not so much that atomic bomb that you can put in an airplane and drop on the heads of hundreds of thousands of people, people as dangerous as that is, but the real danger confronting civilization today is the atomic bomb which lies in the hearts and the souls of men, capable of exploding into the vilest of hate and into the most damaging selfishness. That's the atomic bomb that we've got to fear today. Problem is with men, within the heart and the souls of men. That is the real basis of our problem." The speech continues on from there. But once Dr. King had fulfilled his task in making the people of the world aware that living in peace and in harmony with one another is what God truly intended for all of us, it became the responsibility of all of society to hear, to accept, and to live into these words that we had been taught. And that, beloved people of God, brings us to our very last person, last but surely not least. That person who God created for a very special person, a very special purpose, is you. God created you. God formed you by his own hand, and he made you for a very special purpose. Some of you have already figured out what that purpose is, while others are still on the journey, trying to figure out, trying to discover what it is that God expects me to do with this life that he has blessed me with. But no matter where you are on that journey called life, the most important thing that I want you to be aware of is that your being here is not a coincidence, nor is it a mistake. God has placed you in this church and in this world and in this county for such a time as this. For some of us, we have heard the call to explore what it means to be a part of this church family as a member. For others, we have heard the call to become an officer of this church. We heard the call to add our names to the role of elder and deacon. And then there are some of us who are still on our own personal journey. We're still listening to how God will use us and how we can be a part of building up God's kingdom right here on earth. But no matter where you are on this journey, know that God has made you for a special purpose. And once you discover what that purpose is, it is your responsibility and no one else's to hear, to accept, and then to live into whatever it is that God has planned for your life. Beloved people of God, you were made for a special purpose. And though we may not always know what that purpose is, we all have the same starting point. The purpose that you were made for begins with the two commandments that Jesus taught us when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. Once we embrace this as the way that God wants us to live our lives, then and only then will we be able to fully live into our true purpose. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for creating us, for calling us, for reminding us that we belong to you, heart and soul. And so, Lord, continue to guide and bless us and help us to be a force that unites this world and not apart from those who tear it apart. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to just be loved by you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.